write like two notes. I should have done this before.
Yeah, you should have, but we're starting now. Recording already. All right. Welcome to the Never From Concentrate podcast, number two.
Woo-hoo.
Go local sports team, go. How you doing, Ratchet?
Not too good.
Ratchet, yeah. Ratchet like tore off his ankle.
Not my ankle, man. It's my foot. It's so hard to explain, too, because it's the bottom part of my toes, the joint right on the flat side of my foot.
Right.
And every single time I explain it, I'm like, it's not my toes, but it's just underneath my toes, not the big toe, the two toes next to my big toe. And I bang that on the corner. People are like, how'd you bang it on the corner? Not the inside of a corner, on the outside of a corner. It's the whole right. thing every time. Anyways,
so
it hurts.
We're sitting on your bed, and
yeah.
you have your foot on a basket, and we're still recording
the
podcast.
It's the most comfortable position, yeah. And yes, we are recording the podcast. This is what we do.
This is our lives now. This
yeah.
is, we're semi-professional podcast recorders.
Exactly. You know, injuries happen, you still got to play the game.
All right, I thought we'd start this podcast with a joke. Right?
I like jokes.
I got a joke prepared, okay?
Okay.
This joke is courtesy of a dude I found named Michael Davis, who's like a juggler comedian guy who I think, do you know Mitch Hedberg or like Dimitri Martin?
Yes.
Ever heard of those people? So I'm pretty sure
Dimitri Martin, yeah.
both of those guys were influenced by him because he has these great
one-liner
type things. Right, so here's a joke. So there's this guy and he's sort of, you know, reminiscing about his past, and he's like, oh man, you know, like, I just recently broke up, and I cheated on this girl. Her name is Edith, right, and I really loved her for a while, but then I met this other girl named Kate, and she was gorgeous, you know,
yeah.
she dropped dead sexy,
yeah,
but
yeah.
then Edith found out about Kate,
yeah.
and, you know, shit went down, and then Edith broke up with me. You know, thinking about it, I was wondering, you know, I guess you can't have Edith, fuck it up. I guess you can't have Kate and Edith too.
You can't fuck up the punchline, man.
No, I fuck up.
Stop.
Yeah,
okay, here, I'll give you a joke. Okay?
This can't be a joke podcast, though.
This joke is like three, I don't care. This joke is like 3 years old.
Okay,
like
go.
4 years old. What do you call 143 white guys chasing after one black guy?
I don't know what.
PGA Tour.
Right.
I just Googled jokes.
It's racist.
I was in anticipation of, if he screws up the punchline, I'll have this one ready.
It's the morning, man. It's 8:30 in the morning. Shit.
I
was thinking about that on my bike ride here, too. I was like, I'm not going to screw this up. I guess you can't have Kate and Edith, too.
What is going on outside?
I don't know. There's like a dump truck.
Have you seen
seen
Louis this season at all?
No.
There's an episode in Louis where in the beginning of the episode, like, he lives in New York, so, you know, New York is one of the busiest, loudest cities ever, and he's street facing.
Sorry, New York? What state is that in?
And anyways, in the beginning, there's like garbage guys outside, and they're like, you see them like banging away at the fucking garbage can. They're taking garbage, throwing it everywhere, and like 2 seconds later they come to Louis's room, start hitting him and just like causing mayhem in there. And every single fucking morning when I leave my window open and I realize that the garbage men are coming in my dreams.
Yeah, they're coming in your dreams. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah, yeah. I have to tell you something
about it. Yeah, no, I'm dating a garbage man. All right. Well, you know what I just noticed? I'm looking at your last blog post and there is no title. What's up with that?
Yeah, so I actually did that because you did that.
Oh, I did. I didn't notice that. I didn't know you could do that.
I did that because I was like, okay, I can't really do the stuff.
Right, yeah. We need to figure out do we need to title like every single post something interesting? Or maybe just the first post as a title. And then all the follow-ups.
We could just do the continual re-squared.
I don't know. It's kind of...
Well, the thing is that we're not even going to keep this format, right?
The
format's going to change.
Okay, let's not spoil everything for our listeners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, at least...
For one listener.
Yeah.
All right. So, let's try to do a similar thing to what we did last time. Let's just summarize quickly. So I started off, this week's topic was, well, you told me, like, yo, let's do, just write about what it means to be a sports fan.
That was, by the way, just to clarify, it was through a text message.
Right.
There was a lot of room for interpretation.
Right. So I went, like, the philosophy, like, fucking deep shit route. And I talked about how, like, why people are so enticed by sports, especially nowadays, while we pay our athletes so much, is because, in a way, they have clearly defined meaning. So it's very easy to, you know, try to figure out, you know, if your team wins, it means something to you. Goals mean something to you. Like, there's real-life heroes, and it's sort of...
Losers as well.
Yeah, and losers as well, and it sort of plays into our sort of meritocracy on one hand. So we like to think that the athletes that are the best are the ones that somehow, you know, really worked really hard and maybe had talent, but also are the ones that are the most deserving. And also, there's a nice tie-in to sort of our need for that sort of tribal, I guess, warfare, like to be part of a community and to have some common goal and to, you know, fight the enemy who's a clear enemy and there's no gray area. It's like us against them. And, you know, we have our heroes and our sports stars and things like that.
Yeah, it completely plays into that. I think that's probably, like, the thing of why we like sports, because it's the only other alternative other than let's just kill our neighbors and just conquer the world.
Right.
Because that's just what we've done in the past. And, okay, this doesn't seem civilized anymore.
We should just
do the sport thing that we've done on the side for a while.
Yeah.
But that's why, like, if you think about, like, the most popular sports, other than maybe soccer, just because it's just the cheapest sport to play, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, football is just...
But that's only North America. That's, like, this North America.
But even...
Not even North America, Canada and
even rugby, to a degree. Like, Aussie rules, rugby all over the world. There's so many very, very...
Like, vicious, you mean? Like,
vicious sports. And just, like, fighting in general... It's very tied into that concept, right? And that, like, I boxed for 6 months, and when you get hit, everything else goes away in the world.
Yeah,
and you just focus on this guy that just hit me.
Yeah.
And I don't want to get hit again, and I want to hit the guy that just hit me. And that's it. There's nothing else. And it's just completely evolutionary. And it gives you even a sense of... I don't know what kind of neurotransmitter, but, like, there's something, there's a
like
rush.
Adrenaline, right?
Yeah, adrenaline, dopamine, some rush
that
comes to you after you get a hit, and you hit the guy back, you're just like, I'm the king of the world, where are all these women that are going to sleep with me afterwards? It's just a very, you know, good feeling.
Yeah, and it's, do you feel like it's an immediate goal as well? Like, you sort of, like, you don't think about, like you said, you don't think about these long-term, you know, like, what am I going to do with my life? It's just... This guy hit me.
Yeah.
I need to somehow figure out how to hit him back in the next, like, 30 seconds. Otherwise, I'm, you know, is it, like, more clearly?
No, exactly. Everything else kind of tunes out, which is weird, like, which is funny if you consider, like, the, you know, the comic that you wrote or that you posted.
Yeah.
Where it's not about, like, hitting and there isn't any kind of evolutionary team sport versus the other guy, which I often find, like, true of even me as just a big sports fan. I watch the Olympics whenever it's on, but like these kind of judging events seem so arbitrary.
Yeah.
It seems like a competition.
Well, it's by definition, it's subjective, right? So.
Yeah, but it just,
but
that
sports,
actually makes me, like, these things make me question the legitimacy of sports.
And that plays into my point about how sports give us meaning. Like, they need clearly defined meaning, and if they don't have that, people start getting antsy, and they're like, you can't have judging, you can't have subjective stuff.
Yeah, and subjective stuff is like, I think that's a 9.7. That dude over there grew up in some other country, thinks it's a 9.6. Sorry, you're in fourth place. You get nothing.
Right, but almost all sports have some subjectivity to it. Like, there's fouls and there's...
Yeah,
there's
there
things.
Are, but there is no subjectivity to whether, you know, a ball went inside a basket.
Right.
Like, that happened.
The major part of the sport is...
The major win condition is balls going in a basket, not some guy saying that that looked good or that didn't look good.
Yeah, I was reading, since the World Cup is on, I was reading something about, you know, one of the reasons Americans... tend to dislike soccer is because there's there's actually less of those immediate goals. And often you'll, like, a team will pass back and people will be like, what are you doing? You're going backwards. Like, you've got to go and score. Whereas, like, say football, think about your offense. You're always moving forward and you have an immediate goal, just 10 yards. Just get it 10 yards. So, like, that's all you're focusing on is just get it forward 10 yards. And so when you switch from that to, like, association football, then you go backwards and it's not clear whether you're ever going to score and all that. And so, I was reading that. That's one aspect that makes it less appealing to North American sports.
I think that's one aspect. One other article I was reading about that topic exactly too was, and I've never heard of this perspective before.
Yep.
It's essentially in all other countries in the world, the basic person in that population, their soccer skills are above average than the American. The average American.
Really? But, like, so many... It's a soccer mom thing, right? So many kids play soccer in the States.
Yeah, but they don't... like that,
because
that
they don't
happens,
never progress.
And
fast.
That happens at a club level, and, like, kids play, but it's not... and you don't progress into that state. And also, it's more or less just, like, go kick the ball around, right? In other countries, it's the sport. You take it very seriously. Like, they take football very seriously. They take baseball very seriously at a very young age. Like, I remember club soccer even here, and I know one of my roommates, he's American, he played played at
college level or
state level?
State level.
Yeah, in high school. And you know, they don't take
right.
it as seriously until you get to that stage, right? Where the basic level of basic person in the population in any other country are pretty good. So they're competing, like the best players in the world are competing with the best competition
right. It's
locally.
A chicken and egg problem where, right, if you're not going to, you know, people aren't interested because the best players aren't playing in North America, but the best players aren't playing North America because, you know, people aren't interested.
Yeah. And also, it just ties into the fact that generally, like, people just stop playing too.
Right.
It's just that concept.
The other concept also that's interesting about soccer and also, I guess, something that's non-existent in North American sports is relegation. So can you imagine if you were following, like, the Raptors and they like, sucked 1 year and then they just got demoted to, like...
That's amazing. I love that idea.
Right?
Like, it adds so much pressure to the bottom half. I think if
but,
you had
but
it
in
the NBA,
like,
that would prevent a lot of tanking.
Right.
Right. Like, if you suck, you're going to the end. And it would probably
I don't even know what the, like,
NBDL.
NBDL.
And National Basketball Development League. And they suck. Nobody watches them. So it'd give that whole league another kind of set of
right.
value. And people would care to watch that league and understand and follow it, right?
I don't really, by no means an expert in the economics, but I think one of the reasons that's never going to happen in North American sports is because of the way the league is set up.
Yeah, it's a socialist structure.
Right.
No,
they're going to protect all owners' interests. Whereas in soccer in Europe, I think it's much more of a, like, there's no salary cap at all. Like,
Abramovsky
or whatever. Yeah.
That's so
Abramovich,
funny.
Yeah, you can just go out, like, buy Chelsea and, like, buy, like, $200 million worth
of players.
Well,
that's what happened with Manchester City, right? The oil tycoon
right.
came in, bought the team, then just bought up all the players
and
won the Premiership.
Right, yeah. I don't remember. Abramovich was Chelsea who bought
the coolest thing? If you want to talk about ownership,
Mansour bin Zayed Al Nahyan, not Hayan.
Come on, you can't say that name properly.
Commonly known as Sheikh Mansour. Oh,
yeah.
I'll take that.
What up, Sheikh? That's usually what I would say.
Yeah.
The coolest thing is if you think about fan-owned teams. I think Liverpool,
right?
Is one.
Green Bay.
And Green Bay. Green Bay is probably the best example of a fan-owned team. Because that's the only team in that city, and they only allow them, because there's no other team in the NFL. I don't think there's any team in the
NFL. And I think
you're
not allowed to. I think
no,
NFL now, like any new teams, have to have a single owner.
Yeah, or like an ownership group. There can't be...
I think they actually prefer... I read somewhere that Goodell is the...
Yeah, Roger Goodell.
Yeah, right. So he prefers single owners. I don't know why. It's easier to deal with, I guess, and... Right, yeah.
For whatever reason, but...
That's what MLSC, actually, some people are saying MLSC would have a problem getting an NFL team because they have, it's this conglomerate group where it's not one billionaire who just, you know, It's his baby. They like to have, essentially they like to have, I think the idea is that it also provides an image for the club, right? So, or the team.
Like what, like Jerry Jones? Not Jerry Jones.
Like Kraft, like New England, you know, whenever they win a, like think about it, in football, when you win a championship, the first guy who gets the trophy is the fucking owner.
Yeah, so I want to say the same thing in basketball.
But that's ridiculous. Can you imagine in hockey if they gave it to the owner? You don't even know who the owner is.
Yeah,
of any.
Stupid.
It's like the players did all the work. It's like, here you go. I guess you paid for it. I mean, it makes sense in like a capitalist sense, but
no. No, as a fan, if you're catering to the fans for the actual spectacle that you put on as the finals for the Stanley Cup Finals, NBA Championship, Super Bowl,
yeah,
it should go towards the... We want to see the players we root for celebrate first, especially.
Yeah.
And who gives a shit about the owner?
Well, can you imagine?
You can, like, cut to a shot of the owner celebrating their
right
belt and, like, sitting beside the fans.
Can you imagine if in the World Cup, like, England won somehow and, like, everyone went insane, and then, like, the first person who got to hold the World Cup was the Queen?
Yeah. Like, Barack Obama.
Yeah.
But I think back to the point about sports fan-owned franchises. One question that I know my friends that don't play any sports, don't follow any sports, or not even play any sports necessarily, just don't follow any major sports teams, at least the four national sports, maybe some tennis along the way, but it's arbitrary. Why are you rooting for this team that's owned by this guy? You know, all the players have incentive, they have money that they're making, you know, the sports owners have incentive to give a crap, you really don't give a crap. It would add a whole different element of fandom.
If you actually
owned part of the team,
yeah.
You own part of it. Like me and you have an ownership interest in the Toronto Maple Leafs. And
right.
We can vote on things that we want
to
do.
That would be really cool.
Unreal.
Should we trade this guy? Everyone vote. It would be the worst. I feel like it'd be the worst team ever. It'd be like two
no.
new chefs in the kitchen. We'd all get like the
you don't get a vote on those kind of deals. You're not the GM. You're not a collective hive mind GM. You're just you get to decide on like you know do you want your stadium to have you know this other additional asset to it, right?
Right.
Or you want to
well, it's like a modern day democracy, right? Like you don't actually vote directly on the issues. You vote for representatives, which are then
yeah,
like
exactly.
smart enough to. Like decide, right?
Yeah.
That would be really cool.
I almost wish that like I could move to Green Bay and let my
I don't
kids,
think they're selling any shit.
My no, my kids can grow up Packers fans just to get experience that whole different level because that gives you like a different sense of community that
it's like
you
owning
get.
Stocks. You
yeah,
just, it's your baby. You get.
No, but it's owning stocks with having you know with being a. Wife of
Mormon. They're like war bonds, right? Like when you buy like bonds to like stimulate an economy during a war, you also have an incentive to see that the country wins. Otherwise, your money's fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're married to the money.
Right. Mm. Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's just. So you responded here, and you talked quickly about. I guess what the difference is between a bandwagoner and a true sports fan.
Yeah, so like this got into a very cliched, even though I tried not to be cliched, it became cliched with talking about locality and loyalty.
Right, yeah.
It is important to consider because it doesn't necessarily always translate into what team you're going to support because like I was hoping you'd bring up who your parents supported, if that mattered. Because
right.
if you're
my parents aren't like my dad's a sports fan, but he like I guess in the Soviet Union you can like there weren't that many teams, so he didn't like it wasn't a culture of
Soviet Russia go.
Yeah, I guess there was that club, but he's not even like you know now he's like go Canada go right. So
yeah.
I guess he's a bandwagoner.
He's a national.
Yeah, just you flipped countries.
But the point at least was
well, actually that's an interesting point. Do you feel like we can make the analogy there of? You know, immigrants, like emigration from a sports team to another sports team. And
like on a national level?
Right, like is there some sports team that like takes in immigrants? Like is the Canada of sports teams?
You know,
like Manchester United or something has fans so from all
even
over.
Even in
the
World Cup, they're taking in players. They're not even taking in fans.
Do you read about like Diego Costa?
Yeah, yeah. Just like, I made the worst decision of my life. Yeah. Gonna play for Brazil. What other team he was trying to apply for? There's another one he was considering.
I don't know. I didn't read. Yeah.
God. Yeah, so I think that whole thing is absurd, by the way.
The fact that you can choose? Why not? Like, I could choose, right? I was born in Moscow. I grew up there seven. I was, like, born in the soil, so I could choose if I want to play for Russia or not, right? Like, how else are you going
to... Yeah, but, to choose after you're, I don't know, when you're, like, 18 years old, these guys,
right,
like,
yeah,
apply for citizenship, like, yeah, I'm now going to be Dutch.
Right.
Or
a lot of
Mario Lopez on Germany.
That's actually why Canada doesn't have a lot of good soccer stars.
Yeah, Julian de Guzman,
he
plays for Netherlands.
Yeah, because he grew up in Canada and then, like, moved there when he was, like, 14 to be part of a soccer, like, academy.
Yeah.
And now just plays for the Netherlands. And then you can debate whether, you know, like, should he, does he have an obligation to come back and play for Canada?
Yeah, I wouldn't, man. If I want to progress my own career.
Why? But then you could be a star in Canada or, like, one...
And not play in the World Cup. And not develop my skills.
Right.
Because think about all the skill development that they get when they play against other, playing friendlies and all the international games that they play. That factors into how good they become as a player, too.
Right.
The type of competitive environment.
But then what if you're the star that gets Canada, like, the World Cup appearance, and then, like, literally you're... Don't you want, like, isn't that... Or do you just want to be some, like, you know, little cog in the machine that is, like, Dutch soccer?
It doesn't have to be a little cog in the machine. You get to be part of one of the best, you know, soccer nations in the world.
Or you get to start, like, you get to be a founding member of a team that could be really good in the future.
It's a teetering line, right? Like, look at Landon Donovan. He chose to play in the MLS. He played for the U.S. team. They had some relative success, but not that much success. He got to be a star here, but he could have been a way better player had he not continued to play, I know he played in Europe for a while, but had he played in Europe for a significantly long period of time from the beginning of his career, and then maybe come back to play for the U.S. afterwards. But at least play at a club level there.
But he's the image of U.S. soccer. Like,
yeah, he is. But the thing is that I was going to say that U.S. soccer was developed to a further degree that Canadian soccer was. And maybe to your point that
because
some people...
10 times more people.
And some, well, that isn't necessarily true because, like, India didn't have a fucking team. We have 1 billion people. And,
yeah,
like, 10
times more, like, sporty people. Yeah,
they just have less corruption. That's
yeah,
the problem
yeah,
with
guess,
India.
Yeah.
It all just goes to cricket, and everything else just gets funneled by.
So, like, so the Netherlands has, I just looked it up, just under 70 million people. Canada's 30 million. We should be able to put together, like, right? Or I think Honduras or something has, like, 4 million or something, right? So there's lots of, Costa Rica, I think, is under.
But
we should be able to put together.
That's their, okay, you know, America has... Or you can do the same analogy with hockey. We have 30 million people, and then
right.
You know,
like, how much do you care about the actual sport?
Yeah, it's just whether it's a religion in that country or not. Everybody grows up playing hockey here. Even if you don't play hockey, you know how to skate. You can
I don't know. A lot of people grew up playing soccer nowadays. Maybe like 40 years ago, people only played hockey and soccer was less of. But I mean, a lot of people grew up. Like in our generation, playing all sorts of sports, right?
Yeah,
now you see that in the NBA with drafting. You see that in, I don't know if football has that many, I guess.
Well, put it this way, my uncle who grew up in the States, I asked him this whole question. Everybody grows up playing soccer. What happens afterwards? What happens? Why do people stop?
It's not like a serious thing. It's just like
no,
a hobby.
No, it's because of girls. Girls like... The baseball players.
Yeah, but why do
they... Girls like the football
It's not like girls have anything to know... They don't know anything
about... It's entrenched into the culture.
Right, yeah.
Right?
So why is it entrenched in the culture?
That's a big reason that factors into it as well.
Right, but you're saying... We're asking why is it entrenched in the culture, and you're saying because girls like it because it's entrenched in the culture. It's a circular argument.
You are right on that one. I agree.
Okay, so then... So I responded to this bandwagoner / local sports team by essentially just...
Let me say one thing too, though.
Yeah.
Did I go into that afterwards? No. So, when I was making this whole argument, I was hoping to get into the discussion eventually, but we kind of went on a different tangent, of seeing how Torontonians choose NFL teams because that's
right.
A very unique.
It's the same way Torontonians choose like soccer teams that aren't the FC.
It is, but football is way more entrenched into sports culture in Toronto than soccer is.
Maybe. I don't know.
100%. 100%. Because there's a ton of football fans in the city. It's not only true for Canadians as a whole, Canadians love
I'd be
football.
Interested to see the statistics on that because, like Toronto is more than 50% immigrants. And I don't think people who weren't born here are that interested in football.
No, 100% they are. Like I know this whole argument is just based on my feel of the city.
Yeah.
But I'm very confident of that. I've had money bet barbershop conversations with
okay.
lots of football.
Okay,
fans.
I'll take your word for it.
But if there exist statistics on NFL fandomship in Toronto, they're like the reason why they're trying to put the Bills here. There's a sports argument.
Right.
We could probably research and find those out if you wanted to.
And Toronto's also unique in the sense that there's a lot of cities in Canada who are crazy about the CFL, and Toronto doesn't give a shit. And a lot of people, that's one of the reasons they don't like Toronto, is because they feel like that, like we don't care about our CFL team, whereas, you know, the Rough Riders are a religion in Saskatchewan. That's like, CFL is actually, I think, the second most popular sport in Canada, I think.
I used to work with a guy who's a Riders fan. He's from Saskatchewan. Just said it's one of the biggest things, one of the biggest parties that they have.
Yeah.
Every Riders game is the festival. But I think that's a whole different argument. Like, we just want the best sports teams, especially that we're in all the other three major team sports in North America. We don't get to be part of the fourth one, that being the biggest one right now, too.
Right.
But what's interesting is because of that situation as well, that we have these three other teams, but we don't have this fourth one. Seeing how people give reasons to why they become fans of the Dallas Cowboys or why they're a 49ers fan, it anybody that I've talked to that is a fan of this team in the NFL, they don't necessarily have that same care that they do for their teams that they do for Leafs or the Raptors. And it's like the two major ways that they get into that team is either there's a player that they really loved on the team. They love Steve Young, so they became a 49ers fan. Ever since then, they've been the 49ers fan.
Do you know why they're called the 49ers, by the way?
I recently
found out. Because San Francisco is 7 by 7 miles.
Oh, really?
Yeah. San Francisco proper is 7 miles by 7 miles. Rebby told me that, one of our friends who lives in San Francisco. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a good little tidbit.
I never knew that.
I'm gonna tell my uncle that.
Yeah.
49ers fan.
Yeah. I guess it's like, why are they the 49ers? Those are one of those things you just don't question. How many other things do we not question?
Yeah. Write them down right now. Discuss it. Yeah. What about the 76ers now? I'm curious.
All right. Is it like a... What's 76? 12 times... No, shit. The 13. What's.
Thirty-eight times two,
19 times four.
I'm gonna take away your.
Yeah, it's 19 degrees. By 4. 19 by 4.
Let's see this name. Oh, it was chosen by. It was a contest by. And a fan chose.
Oh, it's like the Raptors.
But there was a reason. It was a tribute to the gallant men who forged this country's independence.
Oh, in 1776.
Yeah.
I see. Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Not really. It's stupid.
Whatever.
Yeah,
the Raptors. It's like, I think Jurassic Park was fun.
And then Chris Bosh was fun. Because he looks like a Raptor. But anyways, I was saying, the second reason that people, I found randomly, that people choose their sports team, fantasy sports, that comes into the play. It isn't as true as well. Actually, there's a third reason that I found recently, but this was for a friend of mine who chose Chelsea in the Premiership. It's because he played with Chelsea in a FIFA tournament, and he won the FIFA tournament.
Right, some things are just arbitrary.
But he's an actual, a Chelsea fan. I can feel
it. What do you mean actual? So
I don't know.
You have a
I can see it.
Prejudice.
Can,
yeah,
can
you know
it.
What he means.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah.
That's the best way to put it.
You
can't make these... You can kind of factor in all these different variables and make up some sort of arbitrary rules that, hey, you can't bandwagon. Like, that's just one rule that is not as arbitrary as you can say. But it's, you know it when you can see it. I look at you, Valentine. I talk to you for 5 minutes, and I know if you're a sports fan or if you're, you know, some average bandwagon asshole. I don't feel like asshole.
Okay. The other thing I mentioned, maybe we can briefly talk about, I think I know your response to this, but a lot of times I'll see people jumping or will have affiliations with this team that's not part of their city. So maybe they grew up in Toronto, but they've been a Habs fan because whatever, like their dad was a Habs fan, and right. And people seem to be okay with that. That's like, okay, whatever, I understand. But if you grew up in Canada and were a US fan, like that's not okay. And I think part of it is because, well, you know, a country that you do feel some nationalism and you can move around much easier in a country than you can inter-country. But say in the EU, right? Like, there are, like, those borders are just as arbitrary as city borders. Cities, you know, taxes, you have representatives, you can move around in cities. And, like, say in the EU, you can move around just as easily within countries. So, why do we place more emphasis on country borders in terms of sports than we do on city borders? And is that just a North American thing, or do you think that's worldwide?
For sports.
Right, yeah, sports. For sports.
Well, I think country borders give you a bigger sense of that nationalism that you have that was there, you know, throughout human history, that this is our territory.
But maybe your team sucked when you grew up, and so you just chose to cheer for US.
But the thing is that it's not like that. That's what it ties into, that locality of, hey, this is where I grew up. You know, you grow
up.
What
if you grew up in Toronto? Aren't you just as much of a coward for ditching Toronto just as you are for ditching Canada? Like, what difference is that?
I agree. There is definitely a baseline cowardness that goes into both of those equations.
Well, like,
but
yeah.
I don't want to demean
people. I just mean, like, why is one treat different?
Sorry, I want to demean people.
Right. Okay.
You know what? I demean all you people who are doing this, I'm demeaning you right now. I hope you feel terrible. Yeah. But there is
you're a Habs fan, essentially.
Just fuck yourself. Yeah. There is an extended level of cowardness when it comes to, at least what people feel when it comes to your country, because it ties into that fact of, hey, this is the land that I defend, that people went to war for, and they died for. I know it's arbitrary, but
in Greece, there are city states. There still are city states, right?
But we don't live in a city state,
right?
We live in a country. We live in in Canada, in a democracy.
Okay,
people went to war.
I mean,
that's why.
I understand. It's still. I think of like the Lenin song. You know, like imagine there are no like borders, or whatever. Imagine, right? So it'd be nice. It's
plus is that song is so idealistic, and it only makes sense when you're like thinking about it.
I mean, it probably wasn't that idealistic in the '60s. It was like people were like, "Oh yeah, maybe some part of this will happen." I don't know. It's all relative. I understand. I thought it'd be an interesting point to discuss because
we could all be friends. Yeah. Imagine there's a perfect world.
Well, they're just
talking about utopians.
But no, you know, we just talked about how we took the 49ers name for granted. I think one of the things people take for granted is that labels, right? Just like you said, bandwagoner or true sports fan. People take labels of countries also. Like, people need to know where you're from, right? In Canada, it's a huge thing. In Toronto, it's like, what's your culture? What's your background? Who cares?
That's
human. Right, like,
but that's a human tendency just to understand somebody, right?
But understand or simplify is like there's a fine line there where you people like to label. That's what they like to do.
Sure,
it's very clear.
Right?
Magenta or
purple. But that's natural. That's a natural human tendency that you label, you stereotype, and it's not a bad thing at all. But that's
it. Could be a bad thing. It doesn't necessarily have to.
If you act on it and you only take those labels for who that person is or who
right,
this subset of people is. You can't say that when you see an Asian guy, you recognize him as an Asian guy. Like, there are stereotypes that exist for Asian guys, but am I going to act on that Asian guy, on all the stereotypes of that Asian guy?
What are you trying to say?
No, I won't. In the same way that
you're not going to hit on this Asian guy.
I won't hit on this Asian guy. Maybe. If he's an Asian girl.
Yeah. In a guy's body. Okay, so that's cool. Oh, did you? I was wondering, did you hear about this I Know When I See It case before I brought it up?
No, I didn't. It was good. I read through like 50% of the Wikipedia article.
It's basically some judges like, they're like, you basically got tired of these like lawyers equivocating. He's like, "All right, you're right. I can't give you any definite lines. What is art and what is porn? But I know it when I see it."
It's true though. You do know it when you see it. Is there, or maybe some edge cases, but for the most part. So I want to ask you also. I was pretty proud of this Mormon type polygamous marriage that you described as a sports fan. I think that's the best analogous way to think about that relationship you have with your team.
Right, like you're part of this team of this group of wives that are other fans.
Yeah, and you're in the very traditional sense of a marriage. You aren't the man. You don't have
the
same.
No, you're the wife. The man is the team.
You aren't the man, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Are men right now. But we often, the biggest analogy, are we men? The biggest analogy usually people have girlfriends, right? And yeah. My sports team is my wife. Like, that's what you always hear people talking about. That's
really?
Yeah, that's anytime
I've never heard anyone say that.
Seriously?
Yeah.
I always hear it. It's a marriage. This is your wife. You're in it for the long haul.
Okay, yeah, I've heard things like that. I've never heard anyone say wife.
Okay, I guess I ask the question a lot more than you do.
Okay.
Or not ask the question, and just, I don't know. I'm weird. But you're a wife. You share this husband with many people. Obviously, it's not a perfect one-to-one analogy, but yeah, you're in this polygamous marriage, and the guy does what he wants. He can be an asshole. You're still going to come home to him.
Yeah, and he's owned by some other group.
Yeah, exactly. There's some other conglomerate that decides what he does
and like whether or not he works out and like if he has a good right arm and stuff.
And it's also like a secluded group within society, like Mormon, polygamous race. They have their own community of people who understand each other and understand like other wives who have other husbands. They're like, oh yeah, that's a good catch you got there.
There's like fantasy husband leagues.
If I would have this husband with this relationship and this family, I could get these two other wives.
Okay, I see, yeah. I guess, so, the direct analogy would be,
I like this shift in your voice. I see, okay. I'm getting serious with this Mormon polygamous marriage analogy. Let's go.
Do it. Full in, let's go. No, I don't know. I was going to say something about a boxer having a lot of wives and having, like, that's, like, the literal representation of that analogy.
Yeah, it's hard to translate with team sports, I guess. Boxers make sense. Or you just think of Tiger Woods. This is a lot of hoes.
Yeah. All right. And with that, Tiger Woods reference.
We started with the Tiger Woods joke. We can end with the Tiger Woods joke.
Okay. I think Tiger Woods is just a joke.
I'll give you another very cheap joke.
All right. One cheap joke, and we'll wrap up our second podcast on the wonderful topic of sports.
All right,
Rachel, you can't wait too long.
I'm choosing one.
I thought this was in your head, man. You're ruining the illusion. We're actually just reading a script.
Okay, I'll give you one. I found a perfect one.
Yeah.
Okay. Why did the dog want to play football?
Why?
Because it was a boxer.
Boxers. Some boxers play football.
No, man. He's a boxer.
It's a terrible joke.
I only saw it because we just talked about boxers. Oh, that's perfect.
All right, we won't ramble too much. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you in like another month.
We're never gonna see you.
Yeah, we're done. It's over.